So let's be seated as we come to God's Word. Maggie's going to be reading from Romans chapter 12. This is an incredibly challenging passage if we take it seriously, as it calls us to think about how we live our lives for God.
Romans 12, 1 to 21. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share what the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We've got a trio of women this morning, so watch your space. It's been a Ugandan month. We went to Uganda on the 6th of November. We got back on the 22nd. On the 25th, a band, the Anglican Youth Fellowship, arrived in Bristol on our doorstep, came to stay with us, and so we hosted 9 of the band for the last few days. We finally got rid of them on Thursday. They went to Peckham, and I lost my voice and had to drive to Peckham and take their stuff, and it has been quite a week. So it's so lovely to have a normal life today and be back to some kind of normality. That's why we've got the Ugandan flags here. Who was here Wednesday night? Right. Who was dancing? Who enjoyed it? Who didn't enjoy it? Well, there we go. Annetta loved it. There was great dancing, a great atmosphere here. And thank you so much for coming. Over £900 was raised, which I think is absolutely amazing. And that will pay for one person to have come over. Thank you, too, for those who went to Deb's tea on Friday. She raised £300 for Kumi, and that was absolutely fantastic as well. So the people of Downend are really generous when it comes to Uganda. Thank you. And this morning's theme is about hospitality. We'll be talking about that a bit later. But we want to just recap on the trip. So I've got Julie and Tracy with me to tell us more about the trip. And fortunately, Mark is not well. Otherwise, he'd be here. But we're going to be thinking about the good aspects of the trip and the things we've learned and how God has spoken to us through it. So, Julie, you're first. So, somewhere, there's a mic.
Just on the steps.
Right, we've got to hold it. Red button on the bottom. Just got to hold it down, I think.
I hold it straight up to your mouth.
He's the expert.
Good morning, everyone.
Right, my first question, Julie, is what were your best impressions of Uganda?
Oh my goodness, best. How long have I got? My best impressions were the friendliness, the welcome, the fantastic scenery, the weather. I mean, that goes without saying. Oh, look, and the hippos. They have to get in on the act. But my best impression all round, everywhere we went, without a shadow of a doubt, we were welcomed, we were loved, we were made to feel like part of the family, no matter who we were with, whether it was a bishop, whether it was a Mr. and Mrs. somebody, we were part of their family for the time we were with them. It was breathtaking and overwhelming. I don't think I will ever forget it, and I'm glad I won't. It's been a wonderful experience.
Carry on.
No. Oh, right. Okay.
You carry on.
There are many things we did, many places we visited. It was very up and very down because we had intense sort of 3 days with people. We'd been meeting them, getting to know them, becoming as relatives almost, because they sort of made us part of their family. And then we said goodbye, and that was hard, because it's sort of intense to make these relationships and then say goodbye. Then we'd have a bit of downtime and go to some brilliant places, tropical forests, and they're just wonderful places where you see monkeys and goodness knows what else. Then we'd back on the road again, meeting other families, meeting an awful lot of other dioceses and priests and vicars, and so many, I didn't realise there were so many. I mean, how many makes a... Is it a crash of priests or a crash of... I've no idea, but I've never seen so many religious people in one room at one point, trying to take it all in, remember what was said, and failing. But it, again, it was wonderful. We spoke openly, we were able to speak openly, and we were, again, made to feel very welcome. And other than that, there were places we went to that really touched me and touched everybody. Went to an orphanage, a baby's orphanage. It sounds sad already, doesn't it? But it was wonderful to walk in where you could see these babies up to 3 years were loved, cared for, kept clean and fed, and their little eyes just widened when you walk in the room, and you know the staff there were dedicated to making sure those children were well cared for. There was a set of twins there whose mum was very young when she had them, couldn't afford to keep them, but they made sure they looked after her children. She worked, she'd come in and she'd see them, and they would support her now for 3 years until such time she was able to support them on her own. That is something I'd never seen, witnessed, or even realised went on, but there's an awful lot out there. They all help each other. They all reach out, because there aren't social services there. There aren't those bridges. There is the church. There's a limit to what the church can do. There are so many that need help, but they all essentially help each other. And it really is something I've come away with that I will never, ever forget. They're very endearing, loving, genuine people. And I loved every minute of it. So. All right. I do have some words. Now, I'm Mark now, okay? It's hard. Stretch the imagination a little bit. Hang on one second. He's really sorry he couldn't be here today. And I've dropped that one. Oh, never mind. There you are. Right. Mark had written, and I promised I would read this for him. When Chris asked Julie and I if we wanted to travel to Africa, I could see God's hand at work. I had recently received a completely unexpected pension lump sum, and now we had an offer to be part of a team. I had always wanted to return to the country of my birth, but had never had the courage to do so. God made this wonderful trip a reality. I've had so many amazing experiences during the trip that I could talk for hours, but for the sake of brevity, these are the main ways that God has made this trip unforgettable for me. Photograph one, that must be this one here. Oh, right, okay, that's a picture of Mark, myself, and the two wonderful drivers we had. The amazing welcome we received from the very first night when we checked in to the Boma Hotel, and the next day from Francisco and Kresh, our drivers. These genuine warm welcome continued throughout the trip from all of the people we met. They were all so enthusiastic to meet us, very interested in our stories, and made me feel part of their lives. Of course, we were an unusual sight to many in the different places we travelled, but I never felt intimidated by anybody, but instead feeling a wonderful love from all the people we encountered and then got to know. Hospitality. We were humbled by the hospitality that was shown by our guests, who opened their homes and their lives to us and shared all they had with us. The different foods they prepared, not all our Western taste, the willingness to talk about their lives and the openness of their different situations made me feel really humble. They made every effort to make us feel we were part of their family, even if it was just for 3 days at a time. The strength of faith. This wasn't just shown by the clergy, but everywhere you looked, Christian messages were written on the backs of taxis, incorporated into shop names, and even on the saddles of the Boda Bodas, which were the small motorbikes, were everywhere, thousands, hundreds of them. They ferried everything around, from people, building material, and all shapes and sizes, dead and living livestock, and apparently even a whole live Ankole cow was spotted on one. The churches were often packed, and in one cathedral we were in, as dancing and singing continued, people were walking in off the street to take part in the worship. They were open about their faith, and even in the smallest of villages, we would often see a church, and many of them with their doors open. Group support. The crowning moment for me, where I could feel God's blessing most, was during the renewal of my baptismal vows. My mum and dad loved the 15 years they spent in Uganda, and I was christened there. He was ordained by the Bishop of Uganda in Mbale Cathedral. And when we returned to the UK in 1968, I was still attending church and living in faith. He confirmed me when I was 15, but I left the faith 8 years later and wandered into my own wilderness for decades, until returning back to faith 4 years ago here in Christchurch. My dad died in 2003, so he never witnessed that return, and I know he would have been overjoyed to see it. Having Dan and Chris renew my baptismal vows while in Uganda was very emotional for me, and I know that he was there watching to witness it. The support from our team members was phenomenal. We all bonded together and strengthened our relationships, and it was this that gave me the courage to lay my emotions bare during the ceremony. Thank you for everyone in the Team Uganda 2024 for making this moment so special for me. I thank God he gave me this opportunity to visit Uganda and renew these vows, making this a very special trip for me.
Thank you, Julie. That's great. And from Mark. And Tracy's going to tell us now, it's her first time in Uganda. She's going to tell us what it meant to her.
What an incredible journey it was, and feeling incredibly blessed as well to have had the opportunity. To say that it stretches your imagination is, well, it just beggars beyond belief, really. As you're seeing here on the slides, this was a visit. The first impression of Uganda was here. The Kampala slums, where you've got, if I remember rightly, Chris, 20,000 people to four working toilets. So, however, the people there, they have absolutely nothing. They're smiling, they're doing what they can with very little of what they have, and yet they opened their doors and their hearts to us and welcomed. They showed us round. Obviously, we had Francis with us, who again showed us what all the good that he's doing for Hope for Life, for just literally a few girls at a time, but he's changing lives, obviously for the better. So this was my first impression of Uganda, and at that stage I'm thinking, what on earth have I done? Can I go home? But I stuck with it, and I'm very glad I did. The team at this point, we were really, really needing each other, because I think we were all feeling the same. However, you know, you put your faith into God, and these two slides here were just as we were coming out of the slums. There was this room that is a school, the Jack and Jill Junior School. And these children, again, they are just so bubbly. They are smiling. They're so pleased to see you. They just want to hug you. And it just pulls at your heartstrings, naturally. Having left Kampala, we was there for 2 days. We then moved on. We visited three different dioceses. It was a very busy schedule. We did have some downtime to kind of reflect as a group. But this here, this was the first diocese that we attended in Ankole. And the amount of children that attend school, they even have their own churches. It was just phenomenal. There was, I went along and I'm given sort of 5 minutes notice that I'm going to preach to 60, 70 children. And I've got 20 minutes, half an hour to do it. There was singing, there was dancing, there was, it was just breathtaking. Again, the love and the joy and the knowledge that these children have of the Bible at this age is incredible. It sort of made me feel that, put me to shame, to say the least. Obviously, as a nurse, we visited various different hospitals, which was obviously a real interest and passion of mine. And again, there's warmth, there's just an openness of what little they have, and yet they're so proud of what they do have and what they're able to do. The three hospitals that we visited were mission hospitals, so they're the smaller ones that are supported by the diocese that we visited. Yes, you've got the big government hospitals, but we kept it to the mission hospitals. And I've never travelled with so much allowance before. There was, well, eight of us initially flew out with 12 suitcases, eight hand luggage, plus seats, and there was only one bag that didn't arrive, but so it was all good. But at this hospital, I was able to give a whole suitcase and a half worth of medical equipment that was incredibly emotional. This photograph here on the left, the hospital have actually set up. It's a hospital that has a general theatre, an obstetrics, and an eye department. And I was lucky enough to stay with Professor Amos and his wife Mabel, who is one of the eye surgeons here. And they've set up this room. It kind of looks like a bit of a distillery, but they're able to make over 20 various different eye drops. So therefore, they don't have to spend money on them. They make them for their own use, but also to sell to other hospitals. So that's really, really positive. Going back, if we could, the photo on the right on here, again, this is at the Children's Eye Hospital, and there's two families there. One is from Congo, and one was from Sudan. And they both took over 2 days to travel to get to this hospital. And there was photographs on one of the slides. I'm looking at some pictures where you see these children with these massive eye tumours, cancer tumours that cover their face, and then to see them after various different operations. But they don't just do the operation and then patch them up and send them home. Their aftercare is so special, and they really, and even years after, they still follow up and check, which is just incredible. But say these two families, obviously with the language barrier, we wasn't able to communicate verbally, but yet again, there was hugs, there were tears, there was just that unspoken language that we all knew what we were feeling and praying, and it was really special. And this this was an incredible special time. During this trip, you're staying with hosts. There was an incident where it wasn't quite meant to be, and it really tested my faith, thinking, okay, Lord, I've had a bit of a up and down year or so with one thing and another. This here was really testing me, and how did I know that God was with me? Because, and the reason being is that at those low moments, the prayer comes into its own, and the power of prayer is phenomenal. And he does listen, and he does answer. And the day after there was an issue, the light came, and I was able to swap with someone, and it was so meant to be. And that's where I ended up with Professor Amos and his wife, Mabel, due to a member of our team, thankfully swapping with me. Who actually knew where I was, someone who, where I was staying. So it worked out really well. And it was during that time that I was writing a prayer, really connecting with God, thinking, I've been angry with you for quite some time, and it's about time I let this go, really. And it was at that moment, I guess it was like a born-again moment, and knowing that Mark was going to be renewing his vows, I quietly asked him if he wouldn't mind me joining him. I didn't want to steal his thunder, and he just broke down and said, what a wonderful thing. So we actually did it together. It was also on the day that a member of our team, Jim, who celebrated, and we celebrated as a team, it was the first anniversary of the loss of his wife. So it was an incredible emotional evening, and that God was answering me in so many different ways that I've just been able to reconnect and have that deep love again. And if it wasn't for this trip, none of that would have been made possible, really. So for the whole team, for Ali, for Chris, all the real hard work that they put into this, thank you both so much. And they're already planning, obviously, for next year. So, yeah, there's obviously Mark on the left, there's Jim on the right, and it was, through the emotion, it was just an incredible, special, yet happy time as well. So if you are in any doubt, do it, because it really is life-changing for so many different reasons. For not only the benefit of the link between the diocese and the relationship that we have as the Church of England to the Church of Uganda, but on a personal journey as well. So just thank you.
Thank you, Tracy, and well done, everyone. And it was an amazing trip. I have to add that I gave Tracy a Mother's Union shawl when she renewed her vows, so we're hoping she'll join the Mother's Union, Barbara. Watch your space. Just so much happened, and it was just an incredible trip, an incredible team. And as Tracy said, we're planning another trip next August, hoping to take some youngsters from perhaps this church and other churches, maybe visiting the north of Uganda with other churches. So if you're interested, please see me or Chris afterwards, and we'll hope to fit you in. We're also selling baskets. I love blue, as you know. And so these baskets are £10 each. If you know of anyone who'd like one for Christmas, there's a few on the back. And there's a couple of other baskets made out of bottle tops, which a friend of mine makes in Uganda, and she's keen to sell them as well. So £10 each. Chris, do you want to add to anything? No, we've said it all. Gosh, it must be okay then. Right. So thank you, everyone. And please do speak to us afterwards if you'd like to know more about the trip.
Thank you.